Hi, I'm Paul Leonardi. I'm a professor at UC Santa Barbara, where I study how digital technologies from email to Slack to generative AI shape the way that we work, communicate, and live. Over the past 20 years, I've been obsessed with a question. If technology is supposed to make our lives easier, why do so many of us feel so tired, distracted, and overwhelmed by it? I call this feeling digital exhaustion. It's not just about staring at screens until your eyes hurt or feeling Zoom fatigue after a long day. Digital exhaustion is the cognitive and emotional weariness that comes from constant digital demands. It's when there's too many pings, too many platforms, and too much data, and it all just leaves us drained. Let me give you an example. Maya is one of the many people that I've studied over the years. She wakes up at 5:50 a.m. to her phone buzzing. Within seconds, she's scrolling Instagram, then a news alert pops up and she clicks it, then three text messages arrive and she switches apps. Her partner tries to talk to her, but she doesn't hear him because she's now checking WhatsApp. Sound familiar? By the time Maya gets out of bed, she's already made dozens of micro decisions and context switches. Her brain has already started burning through its limited energy reserves, and she hasn't even had coffee yet. This is a growing pandemic. In my research tracking over 12,000 workers across 12 countries for two decades, I found something startling. In 2002, the average digital exhaustion score was 2.6 out of 6. By 2022, it had skyrocketed to nearly 5.5. My 9-year-old daughter looked at the graph that I produced one day and told me, "Dad, it looks like it's a snake about to strike." And she was right. The only difference is that snake has already struck. Today, I want to share five big insights from my book about what digital exhaustion really is and why it's rising faster than ever, and how we can start to reimagine our relationship with technology. Insight number one, exhaustion isn't weakness, it's physics. Let's start with the most important reframe. Exhaustion is not a personal failure. It's physics. Think about a phone battery. When it's new, you charge it overnight and it lasts all day. But after thousands of charge cycles, it drains faster and faster. Eventually, it barely holds power at all. Our brains work the same way. Every notification, every message, every screen switch drains our cognitive battery and our emotional battery too. Take Andy. She's a project manager I worked with at a software company. She told me, "I feel like my brain is a phone battery that just doesn't hold a charge anymore. I used to be sharp all day. Now by 2 p.m., I'm staring at my screen, scrolling and clicking, unable to focus on even simple tasks." Andy wasn't weak or lazy. She was experiencing what neuroscientists call cognitive depletion. Here's what's happening in your brain. Every time you switch your attention from, let's say, email to Slack, from a spreadsheet to a text, blood rushes to your prefrontal cortex. Your brain sounds a two-tone alarm, searches for the right neurons to handle the new task, then activates them. This process called rule activation happens in just a tenth of a second. But here's the catch. Each switch burns precious metabolic energy. Your brain makes up just about 2% of your body weight, but consumes 20% of your daily calories. Most of that energy goes to keep your body running, breathing, heartbeat, temperature regulation. Only a tiny reserve is left for active thinking. As neurologist Richard Chautwick says, the brain's reserve margins are slim and they're quickly eaten up by constantly shifting attention. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. I tracked 20 teams across a number of Fortune 500 companies and found that the average knowledge worker toggles between apps and websites 1,200 times a day. That's 1,200 energy-draining attention switches. If each switch takes just 2 seconds, that's 40 minutes a day just transitioning between tools. But the real cost isn't time, it's the cumulative exhaustion from all that switching. The history of exhaustion tells us the same story. Since ancient Greece, writers have described exhaustion as the depletion of a finite resource. Today, that resource is our attention. Just like our muscles grow sore from physical labor, our minds weaken when overtaxed by constant switching, scrolling, and interpreting. The problem is our bodies are great at signaling physical fatigue, sore muscles, aching joints, but our brain rarely waves a red flag. Instead, exhaustion sneaks up on us. We don't realize we've crossed the line until we're already depleted. That's why this first insight is so crucial. Stop blaming yourself. If you feel exhausted by your digital tools, you're not failing. It's the inevitable physics of finite energy colliding with infinite digital demands. Insight number two, tools multiply faster than our capacity. We often assume the solution to digital overload is better tools. If I just had the right app, we think everything would be easier. But here's the irony. The more tools we adopt, the more fragmented our lives become. Consider a company that I'm just going to call here HealthCo. They're a global healthcare organization. When I asked employees there to list their digital tools, here's what I found. Most people weren't just using email. They had Slack for chat, Zoom for meetings, Jira for project management, Salesforce for customers, SharePoint for documents. Teams from cross departments had different updates, plus tons of specialized tools. Each promised to make work easier. Together, they created chaos. One employee, Marcus, told me something I'll never forget. He said, "I spend more time figuring out where to respond than actually responding. Did that question come through email? Was it on Slack? Did someone tag me in Jira? I'm constantly hunting for conversations across platforms." Here's what my research revealed. The average knowledge worker spends 57 minutes per day just switching between applications. But that's not the worst part. They also spend 30 minutes daily deciding which tools to use for each task. Should I message on Slack or email? Should I put this in Notion or Google Docs? These micro decisions seem trivial, but when you're making them 1,200 times a day, they create decision fatigue. Let me tell you about Shireen. She's a marketing specialist who listed 36 different digital tools she used daily. 36. Everything from Adobe Illustrator to TikTok to her banking app. After our conversation, she looked at that list and said, "Oh God, that exhausts me just looking at it." But here's what happened next. Shireen decided to try an experiment. I worked with her to cut her tool use in half. Not randomly, but strategically. She identified digital tools that were redundant, you know, like using both Alexa and Siri. She identified tools she barely used, Evernote for notes when she already had Word, and tools that weren't truly essential. She had three different social media apps for posting the same content. 6 months later, her exhaustion score dropped by about 40%. She told me, "I thought I'd missed those tools, but instead I feel liberated. It's like I decluttered my digital life." The insight here, technology expands faster than our cognitive capacity to manage it. We're running software from 2024 on hardware, our brains, that hasn't been upgraded in 300,000 years. Exhaustion isn't built from volume alone, but from fragmentation across too many different tools. Insight number three. Here's something that might surprise you. It's not the flood of emails and notifications themselves that exhaust most of us. Instead, it's the inferences we have to make from all the piecemeal data that comes through them, that mental work of constantly interpreting ambiguous digital communication. Take Aaliyah. She runs a nonprofit in Georgia. Her inbox was overwhelming, yeah, but what really wore her down was the constant interpretation. She told me, "I spend so much mental energy trying to decode messages, like why did my colleague only reply with okay? Are they annoyed? Why hasn't that donor responded? Did I offend them? What does that emoji really mean?" It's exhausting trying to read between the lines all day long. Digital communications generally strip away crucial context, like tone of voice, body language, facial expressions. So our brains work overtime to fill in the gaps. This creates what neuroscientists and psychologists often call controlled processing, slow, deliberate, effortful thinking that demands huge amounts of cognitive resources. Let me share a study that really drives this home. Researchers examined college students responding to ambiguous Facebook posts. Not only did students feel mentally exhausted trying to figure out if someone was genuinely depressed or just seeking attention, but the emotional toll at arriving at these conclusions left them feeling depleted and dispirited. Think about your own digital life. How often do you reread a text, worrying about its tone? How many times have you analyzed a brief email response, wondering if the sender's upset? These micro interpretations pile up until we're mentally drained. In the analog world, a face-to-face conversation offers dozens of cues that help us to interpret quickly and accurately. A slight smile, a furrowed brow, the speed of a response, all of these provide instant context. In the digital world, every interaction becomes a puzzle that we have to solve. But it gets even more complex. We're not just interpreting others, we're constantly evaluating ourselves through digital mirrors. Take Zoom fatigue. Jeremy Balinson, a professor at Stanford, found that seeing ourselves on video calls creates unprecedented self-scrutiny. As he put it, imagine in the physical workplace, for the entirety of an eight-hour workday, an assistant followed you around with a handheld mirror. That's essentially what happens on Zoom. One of my students named Xiao confessed to me once, "When you're teaching on Zoom, I'm constantly managing how I appear. Am I nodding enough to show I'm engaged? Can you see I'm taking notes?" And then she told me, "I was so busy thinking about how I looked to you that I missed half of what you were saying." That's the third insight. Exhaustion isn't just about too much input. It's about the invisible, constant work of interpretation, decoding others' meanings, and managing our own digital presence. Insight number four, boundaries create energy, not limits. We tend to think of boundaries as restrictive, walls that keep us from being responsive and connected. But my research shows just the opposite. Boundaries actually, for most of us, create energy. Consider Vicente. He's a friend of mine, he's a high school teacher and a soccer coach. He made one simple change. He turned off all notifications during practice. No emails, no texts, no pings for 2 hours each afternoon. "At first I was anxious," he told me. "What if I missed something important?" But then something magical happened. I was fully present with my players. I could actually see their technique improving, have real conversations with them. And when I checked my phone after practice, I had more energy to deal with messages because I wasn't depleted from all those interruptions. Here's what's happening. Boundaries are like fences around your mind. They don't shrink your world. They protect the space where energy regenerates. The data backs this up. In a study I conducted with companies using internal social media platforms like Jive and Google Workspace, employees who set specific times to check messages improved their ability to find experts by a pretty significant amount. Why? Because when they weren't constantly interrupted, they could actually pay attention to patterns in communication and learn who knew what in the organization in a relatively non-exhausting way. But many of us resist boundaries. We're worried we'll miss something critical or appear unresponsive. Jed, who's an investment banker I interviewed, prided himself on responding to every message within minutes. He told me, "I'm dependable. People know they can count on me for fast responses." But when I interviewed his colleagues, do you know what they said? Most didn't even notice his quick responses. His boss actually told me that she wished he'd slow down a bit. She said, "Sometimes Jed responds too quickly without thinking things through. I'd prefer more thoughtful responses, even if they take longer." Here's the paradox. Jed was exhausting himself to maintain a reputation that didn't exist. His always-on approach scored him a 5 out of 6 on the digital exhaustion scale, but didn't provide any real benefit to his colleagues. The insight here is that boundaries aren't about saying no to technology. They're about saying yes to it in selective ways, ways that encourage our energy, focus, and genuine connection. When we protect our attention, we don't just preserve energy, we create it. Insight number five, AI could save us or exhaust us completely. The final insight looks to our AI-powered future. And I'll be honest, artificial intelligence could either be our salvation from digital exhaustion or the final nail in the coffin. Let me paint two scenarios based on my current research with a number of companies implementing AI. Scenario one, let's call this AI as liberator. Imagine an AI assistant that truly understands your work patterns. It filters your inbox, shows you only the 3 decisions that actually need your input today. It summarizes those lengthy Slack threads into 2 sentences of relevant information, and it drafts routine responses that sound like you, leaving you free to focus on creative, meaningful work. I see glimpses of this at companies that I've worked with. Take a law firm where junior lawyers use AI to review contracts. Tasks that took days now take hours. But here's the key. They don't just do the same work faster. The lawyers and paralegals at the firm use their free time to do higher level work, strategic thinking, relationship building, and creative problem solving. And they get there because AI fits into their flow of work in a way that allows them to stay focused on tasks, not have to change tools so much, and not have to do all of that switching and inference that really exhausts us. Scenario two, AI is amplifier of exhaustion. There's a darker possibility. And here's an example that explains it. My students recently used ChatGPT to write some thank you notes to a guest speaker we had in our class. The AI expanded their brief thoughts into lengthy formulaic essays. When I presented those to the speaker, he told me, you know, if you'd sent me all these AI notes and didn't tell me that you expected them that they were AI generated, I probably would have just fed them all back into ChatGPT to summarize them. Think about that absurdity. We're using AI on the one hand to expand our content, which then forces recipients to use AI to compress it back down. That's an exhaustion amplification loop. I'm already seeing this at scale. One executive told me 70% of internal documents at his company are now AI generated. They're longer, more verbose, but not more valuable. As he put it, we're drowning in synthetic content that nobody actually wants to read. The scariest part is that AI is getting better at keeping us hooked. In one study, personalized messages crafted by ChatGPT were remarkably effective at persuading people. The AI knew exactly what psychological buttons to push. AI can recognize our emotional states better than many humans, and it never gets tired of talking to us, which is why it could suck us into these loops that just keep us exhausted almost without even trying. A company I consulted for built an AI sales assistant designed explicitly to keep customers on the phone longer. That's one example of what I'm talking about. As their chief product officer told me, our AI figures out the perfect next thing to say to maintain engagement. It's like a conversation that never wants to end. The truth is, AI is sort of like a mirror. If we design it and use it thoughtfully, it can reduce exhaustion by handling routine tasks and freeing us for more meaningful work. But if we let it run wild, generating endless content, creating infinite conversational loops, or making us available 24/7, I think it's going to accelerate our exhaustion and bring us to unprecedented levels. So that's the fifth insight. AI is either going to be the beginning or the end of digital exhaustion, or maybe exhaustion's final evolution. The important point here is that the choice is ours, so let's strategically think about how we bring AI into our work and into our lives. So where does this all leave us? Let me be clear. Digital exhaustion is not inevitable. It's not weakness. It's not solved by more tools. It's solved by recognizing our limited capacity. It's not just about information overload, but it's about the draining work of constant interruption and constant interpretation. Digital exhaustion can be countered by boundaries that restore energy, and it's going to be shaped, for better or worse, on how we choose to design and deploy AI. The good news is that we have more agency than we realize. Throughout my book, I offer what I call 8 simple rules, from stop using half your tools to how to be here, not elsewhere, that can dramatically reduce our digital exhaustion. These rules aren't about digital detox or giving up technology. They're about fundamentally reimagining our relationship with our devices. Let me leave you with this. We're the first generation in human history to carry the entire world's information, connections, and distractions in our pocket. It's no wonder we're exhausted. But we're also the generation that gets to decide what comes next. If we can learn to be intentional rather than reactive, to create boundaries rather than always be available, to use AI as a tool rather than as something that's going to control us, we can discover technology's original and important promise to connect us, empower us, and make us more creative and not more exhausted. Thank you for listening. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to practice what I preach and turn off my notifications for the next hour and get some good focus in. I suggest you do the same.